Welcome to the Advice for Lovers podcast. This is a show where people get excellent advice and find solutions to their relationship issues. Your resident guides for today are experienced relationship coaches and counselors, Jenny and Drew. And now your hosts, Jenny and Drew.
While many find the information on this show helpful, it is, however, for entertainment purposes only.
Hi, Jenny. How's it going?
It's going pretty well over here in New Mexico. How is Ohio treating you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm really excited about tonight's show because we're going to talk about love issues, relationship problems. We all have them from time to time. And I'm excited to offer guidance to people so they don't have to flounder around, wasting energy, getting caught in that loop of this is going nowhere fast or slow. So, and we are offering, you know, directions, solutions, guidance, and it's for free. So listeners, buckle up your seatbelt and get ready for a not so bumpy ride. So that's what makes me happy today. Before we get started, and I do have questions that I'm going to read from listeners and from people who comment and make submissions on Reddit and Facebook or whatever. But before we get into that, are you excited about today's show?
I am. I love recording. I love having the questions available and not knowing them beforehand and kind of doing it on the spot, off the hip. So, yes, yeah. It's very exciting.
Surprise. Yeah, that's what I do. I get the questions, and I try not to read them, but I do read them. But Jenny doesn't. So let's go, and I'm going to pose the first question to Jenny. Question number one, I accidentally read my girlfriend's texts and found out that she might break up with me. What do I do? What do you think?
Well, I think the first thing to do would be to ask her what's going on, because if we ignore it, it likely won't go away. There's an issue at hand. Be a good time for both of them to meet in the middle and communicate about where the relationship is going or where it's not going and discuss. And even if the end result is that they break up, at least they're going to have that high emotional intelligence, that high EQ when they're discussing these issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of relationships end, most of them end, but if we can learn something from each of them, understanding, compassion, that emotional intelligence, then we're winning. So he needs to communicate with her, and maybe she's too afraid to ask for what she wants, or maybe she's just not into him, and that's fine too, and that's when you can end a relationship amicably and heartfully and move towards something that's more suitable for you. I think they should communicate almost immediately. She's probably going to be mad because he accidentally saw her text, and she probably is going to think he was snooping, but yeah. Either way, the information's there and needs to be discussed as opposed to ignored.
Yeah, definitely. I agree about jumping to conclusions because you don't know the backstory. You know, maybe she's, because she could be angry about something that happened, is just talking shit, or, you know, just talking shit in general. Some people just talk, you know, say things they don't really mean, and this, you know, for dramatic effect. So it could have meant nothing at all, or there could be something that needs to be talked about, and this is an opportunity to bring it up and to maybe hash it out or not prolong this. You know, there's no point. I don't want to be with you if you don't want to be with me, you know, but that's me. Some people, they want to be with you. They don't care if you like it or not. So yeah, don't jump to conclusions. Ask and take a look at why you're accidentally reading her texts. You know, do you think that's some insecurity stuff or?
Yeah, I think that energetically or chakra wise, it's the solar plexus, which is in the center of the stomach. It's a yellow spinning wheel of light associated with your self-worth and self-confidence. I would say that he's got to work with some self-confidence and self-worth if he's feeling like he has to look into her text accidentally. So when you accidentally read a text, you might read one that's across the face of the phone. It depends probably what phone you have, but you don't accidentally read more than one. You accidentally read one or catch words off of one, you know. So he was probably sensing that she's unhappy. And as opposed to communicating with her, that high EQ we were speaking of, he went into her phone likely. And again, she may have problems with that. That may be a deal breaker for her. Maybe she really values her privacy. Most people do. And if she's already thinking about it, he probably just kicked himself over the edge. So he's going to have to work with insecurity. I mean, this is what we do. We put ourselves out there vulnerably in relationships. And quite often, we're going to get some bumps and bruises.
I was thinking accidentally. What a funny word. You know, you didn't accidentally. You read the text, you know. I think the accidentally part, when I think about it, it could really happen that way. You know, it could just be, you know, there's her phone, and then ding, this little curiosity thing comes over you, and you're just curious. And I think that's different from being insecure. But I think it could lead to insecurity, or it could, you know, be shining a light on some latent insecurity, or, you know, just curiosity killed the cat, and now he's killing his relationship. See what you made me do? Should have kept that phone with you. It's all her fault, and that's the end of that. So, yeah, talk about it. Don't jump to conclusions, and be ready to, you know, you found what you were looking for, so now be ready to live in the solution. You're welcome, Mr. Somebody from Somewhere, with the accidentally reading your girlfriend's text. So I think question one went well, and I think it's not so such a unique thing. I think it may be a little bit more common than, you know, in terms of accidentally reading text. I think that might be not so uncommon thing. I know I've accidentally read a few texts. Like, what is this? Well, that's my dad, Drew. Oh, okay. Lucky. Tell your dad to watch it. So question two from a listener in Omaha, Nebraska. This is a married couple in their 40s. So the guy is writing this. And once again, it's from a guy. He says, my wife and I haven't had sex in months, and I'm at the end of my rope. So what do you take from that?
Well, he's at the end of his rope. Like, did he try anything? We don't know a lot of backstory. Has he communicated with her? It could be something, if she's in her 40s, she could be perimenopausal, which fucks with the hormones. Screws with the hormones. Sorry about that. Can we swear on live recording? Mm-hmm. She is likely experiencing some fluctuation with her hormones, which is a very natural and normal thing to happen in general, and especially at that age, perimenopausal, premenopausal, they call it. So it's common, if you're not getting what you want from your partner, to kind of be self-absorbed in your pain or your lack or what have you. That high emotional intelligence says things like, hey, what's going on? I'm feeling a little bit alienated. I'm feeling disconnected from you because we haven't connected sexually or maybe even emotionally. What's up? I want you to be well and healthy. Let's talk about this, as opposed to only being like, well, I'm not getting what I want. I'm about ready to leave this relationship. It's like kind of like tried everything and tried nothing, and now I'm all out of ideas. I wonder how much he put into this. And it could be something as simple as she needs some vitamin Bs to help spike her hormones back, or some neutralizing herbs, or maybe even medicine. Ooh, people choose all different kinds of healing modalities and ways to do it. But sounds like there's an issue, because if you're not wanting to connect or you're not connecting with your partner, there's something going on there. And again, it could be hormonal, it could be emotional, it could be energetic, spiritual, it could be all of the above. But either way, discussing it is helpful, as opposed to just, you know, running away. I mean, they're married. It's not like they're dating, you know. It's not like he's only put about 6 months into this and he's just like, I'm not even messing with this. I mean, this is his wife.
Yeah, that is, communication is key. Once again, you know, he, like you said, I mean, there was not a lot in this question. So it doesn't read like he's tried lots of things. You know, we're having sex issues and I've tried this, that, this, and now I'm at the end of my rope. It's more like we're having had sex and now I'm at the end of my rope. So, like, are you asking for it? Are you so insecure that, you know, some guys don't ask. Some guys think it's a obligation. Hey, it's Saturday night. Where's my ham sandwich? And I wonder how common it is for guys to be afraid to ask for sex. Maybe that's the topic.
We should take a poll.
Yeah.
On our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially after you've been in the relationship for a while, you know, is there an expectation and are you comfortable saying, hey, what's up with that? But yeah, it seems like he needs to put in some work and have some compassion, and she might need to communicate as well. If there's something going on, she definitely is probably aware of it, but maybe she is, you know, embarrassed to say. And so here they are both not talking, and the insecurities are jumping off and the frustration. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think he needs to talk to her and try to ride it out with her. If she's having issues, you know, help her along, be supportive. And, you know, there's always the little hot neighbor down the street.
Maybe they will also likely come to the space. That's why it's good for him to work on this with his wife, because even if he leaves his relationship with his wife and he finds the new cute neighbor down the road or whatever, that relationship will get to this point at some point. So unless you just want to hop, hop, hop every whatever 5 years, which is fine if that's what people are into, but you're not digging in deeper, not taking a look at the issue. So yeah. If he loves his wife and they've got a good connection, I would say this is worth working on and moving through, which just ultimately makes the relationship stronger and fixes the problem, the potential hormonal issue or whatever it is.
And I can kind of imagine him feeling, you know, a little bit distressed, because like, why is she just, you know, hit me over the head with this new thing? I don't know where it's coming from. You know, I just know it's here and I don't like it. This is something new. It's a change from our norm. So she really should be talking about it, unless for some weird reason she's not aware that they're not sleeping together a lot anymore. So it's kind of on her, but it's also on him.
Excellent point. She obviously knows time, at least a little bit, and knows that a stretch has gone by without connecting sexually. Yes, absolutely. She should communicate with him about this and say, hey, I'm not feeling sexual. I need to look at this. So she's got to take the responsibility to look at her hormones or the lack or whatever, and maybe they need to make a plan. I don't know, maybe they get toys or make it a special weekend. I don't know. Spice it up a little bit. Move the energy some more. Relationships take effort.
She might have to courage up and tell him, like, you know, you're letting yourself go to pot, you smell funny, your performance is way down, and you become super selfish. I don't know, but whatever it is, somebody needs to be talking. So this is where relationship counseling comes into play. Mm-hmm. You can tell me and I'll be the mediator and help you find ways to tell him or her. So I know people were thinking, oh, you tell me and then I'll tell her. Nope, that's not how it goes. We'll help you look at ways that you can comfortably express yourself and manage your expectations about what's going to happen after you express yourself. So question number two, communication is the key. I think we're coming up with the theme for this episode. Let's see if question three is in the same vein. Question three, now this is from a wife. They don't mention their age. They're let's say they're from California. And they don't say their age, but she's pretty unhappy. She says, I want to leave my husband, but I have no money and I'm working on getting disability. Is there a way to do this still? So, interesting.
Yeah, can you repeat that? I missed part of it.
I want to leave my husband, but I have no money and I'm working on getting disability. Is there a way to do this still?
Yeah. She may have to wait until that disability comes in, because that's going to be her independence. She could leave before the disability comes in if she's in a harmful situation or she's just had enough. There's some potential shelters where she lives. Everyone has them in all states. And maybe a temporary situation until the disability comes in, because if he gets wind that she's leaving, he might just kick her out and no one wants to deal with that. So maybe she could have a backup plan to her waiting for the disability, because I've heard horror stories about waiting for it. They say, you know, a couple months and a year later, you don't even have it. So what she could do is have an assisting plan. That's the long term. That's going to help her long term. But currently she could reach out to shelters and women's services as well as churches to see if there is a temporary living experience for her. Or
exactly.
Maybe she can help a family and stay there rent free and help with the children or cleaning or something. I don't know. There's probably something she could finagle. So yes, it's possible. Yes, she can. And what happens is when you don't have any independence and you're living off somebody else's money, that puts you in a place of feeling really hopeless. So I'm going to send her some good energy and put some light into the universe for her and toward her for her to move past the hopelessness. And once we're hopeless and we're in these spaces, it's very hard to think of clever ways to pull ourselves out. And it's a very normal experience, hopelessness. It's a human experience. But if she can alchemize that hopelessness into curiosity and start doing a little Googling and researching, I believe that she can pull herself out before the disability comes in.
Yeah, I think once again, communication is the key. She needs to communicate with herself. She needs to be clear about what she's trying to do. I mean, when you come out of the gate saying, I want to leave my husband, and then there's this but, so I want to leave him, but I don't want to become, I don't want to get exposed financially and with little resource. So are you trying to like pretend and deceive him for a period of time until you get your money? And now you're like, hey, I'm out of here. So I don't know. It sounds a little deceptive. Like she's trying to figure out how to have her cake and eat it too. And is there a way to do this? I mean, what's the focus? Are you trying to do what you need, or are you trying to do what you want? And when they don't work together, then what's the priority? Sounds like the want is the priority, because she doesn't want to be out there struggling, trying to hustle and find a way to take care of herself. But what she needs is to leave, because she's not happy there anymore. Is he okay with her just being there as a live-in roommate that's more like a dependent? So I don't know. Just get honest with yourself about what you want and walk your path with courage and, you know, do what you got to do to land on your feet, but not, you know, start off with some deception. You don't want to be fooling people, because that's not good. You wouldn't like it if that boomerang turned around back on you. What do you think?
That's true. When you're staying in situations that aren't your truth or aren't where you want to be, you're deceiving yourself too. So she's deceiving herself, deceiving a partner. I feel like I have an idea of where the deception was born, which is her lack of independence and potentially her insecurities. So I can see why she's, I don't think it's as malicious as your typical deception, but there is deceiving going on. And like you said, if the shoe were on the other foot, she wouldn't want somebody living off her dime that didn't really want to be around her.
Yeah.
So it's painful.
And regardless of, you know, what he's doing, because he could be a total piece of shit, you know, telling her, hey, you got nothing. I take care of you. I'm tired of, you know, get these dishes done. He could be super bad, and she could have every right to just leave for her own sanity and health. But that's irrelevant to, you know, how she should carry herself moving into this space. You don't, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So do what you got to do. Like you said, shelters. It's not where you want to be, but it's might be best for you.
Temporarily.
Or permanently.
Maybe they have apartments near there and she could get a low income housing. And, you know, that might work.
Mm-hmm. At least you'll be happy. So, three in the books. And I'm making up these locations for these people because I think it sounds cooler. So, I'm going to start making up names for them too. So, we were saying that if we got through these three questions and we still had time left, we would do this bonus question. And the bonus question is a doozy. And this one is from a couple out of Florida. And it's the wife who's asking for help. She says, my husband's been screaming at me when he gets upset and says that I'm abusing him by threatening to kick him out. So I repeat, my husband's been screaming at me when he gets upset and says I'm abusing him by threatening to kick him out. What do you think about that one?
I think there's a nice little kitschy term, and that's she's being gaslighted, where whether for whatever reason she wants to kick him out, there's reasons, obviously, she wants to, and he's screaming at her because he probably feels less control than he'd like. And it sounds like she's in an abusive relationship. There's likely more, obviously, more to the story, but she wants him gone. He's proving why she wants him gone. The screaming. Who screams? You don't scream. I mean, if you're scared, you know, or something, but that is not high EQ. That is low, low EQ. And we all get mad every once in a while. We all shout a little bit every once in a while. Sounds like he's doing it repetitively. She needs to kick him to the curb and just call that one a learned lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. Who does that? Screaming.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because if she says, my husband screamed at me, then that seems like it's a one-time deal. It's an event. But he has been screaming at me. So this reads like it's ongoing. This has been happening more than once. And it's so much that she's at the point to where, you know, and as a last resort to kind of get things back under control or to get some order, she says, hey, I'm going to end up kicking you out. And then he goes to the, yeah, see, that's abusive when you do that. So it's always her fault. So now he should scream some more. Why not? But I saw it in a different light. I saw it that she is abusive. She's abusive because she keeps threatening. And if you're going to kick somebody out because they've done something that's a deal breaker, it's disrespecting your boundaries, kick them out. But if you just keep using that as a bat to hit him over the head with when he does something you don't like, then it is abusive, you know? Like, hey, you snooping through my phone. Why you keep doing that? I'll kick you out. Hey, you went and spent all the money on the credit card. Why you keep doing that? Hey, I'll kick you out. See, that's shitty. So he could be dead ass wrong. And the reason I look at it the way I do is because she's the one asking. So I'm focusing the energy on what's the solution for her. Her solution can't be to tell her what all he needs to fix, because that's not in the realm of her power. She can't change anything about him. So if she's using this, I'll kick you out, as, you know, a club to hit him over the head with to shut him up, that's not cool at all, regardless of what he's doing, which isn't cool. He needs to get his shit together, but she needs to stop threatening. If she's going to kick him out, do it. If you're not, then don't keep saying that, because it's not nice either. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a toxic situation, toxic relationship. I have some sympathy for her, because when you're married and you put effort in, it's hard to let it go. It really is. Even if it's absolutely not for you, there is a processing time and time to get that last straw drawn. But indeed, it is quite abusive to hold things over people's head and threaten them. They have a toxic situation. They're likely just going to have to end it, because they probably have tried whatever they're willing to try. It doesn't appear to have done much for them. And it takes both people wanting to make this relationship work. It takes both people putting the effort in and panning out and looking at themselves and being honest and saying, hey, I might have some bad habits here. As opposed to, like you said, oh, it's just always you. It can never just be one person in a relationship that's doing the things wrong. It's always going to be two.
Yeah, the toxicity grows and is in a good environment for it. And they're, you know, they're playing toxic tennis back and forth. Somebody's got to break the cycle. You know, I can understand she feels really justified. Somebody's screaming at you. You know, you're not a child. That he's not a child. It shouldn't happen like that. But what are you going to do about it? If your course of action is toxic, then it's toxic. You have a right to have some course of action, but, you know, be mindful of the path you choose. Are you choosing to take the high road and say, hey, you know what, I've had enough of this. This is hard. It's hard to say get out, but it's also hard to let you stay. So I have to take the path that's going to lead to somewhere. Staying on the merry-go-round is not helping anybody. But if you're just going to keep throwing harsh words around, because that's probably her trump card. I'll kick you out. You know, if she was bigger than him, it'd probably be, I'll kick your ass, but she can't, so it's, I'll kick you out. Because that's the lowest blow. I'll kick you out, or I'll tell your friends you like to wear my underwear. Something like that, you know, when you hurt people, they kind of retaliate. And maybe this is her way of retaliating, I don't know. I mean, it's no question that he's got some issues. So I'm not even, he's obvious. But her, I get it, and you're right. It is so hard to let go. You put in so much, and you really want it. But there comes a time. And kicking him out could just be a temporary thing. It could shake things up to where he takes a look at himself and, you know, decides that he wants this more than he wants to scream. So, yeah, complex, but not really. Either let him stay or make him go, but don't keep threatening. Don't keep bluffing, because that's
He's also a bit abusive to himself, because how many times does someone have to tell you to go before you just go?
Yeah.
He's taken it.
Yeah. And how many times does somebody need to tell you that they're going to kick you out before the light bulb comes on and makes you look at yourself and say, hey, you know what? I better cool out, because I can actually lose this. You know, maybe I'm taking it for granted, like it's a tree and it's not going anywhere. But yeah, I'm getting real close to losing something important to me. So yeah, he's a guy. He's that dude. He's that guy. Mm-hmm. He's that guy. He needs some help, help, help. Well, damn, we are running through these. We're solving people's problems so fast. I'll never...
Like lightning.
Yeah, you'd never get treatment like this if you come to my office, because we would have to stretch this out. Have to make it. But you know
charged
what?
By the hour.
You can tell people the answers. And, you know, are they really going to follow the suggestions? Are they going to keep looking for their way to do it and being, you know, super unique? Yeah, but it's different for me because... So this is why therapy goes on and on and on, because you just won't listen, or you just...
Humans are stubborn. Humans are very, very stubborn.
Yeah, and you sometimes you can even get with, I know that's the answer, but it's so hard. I'm willing to, you know, I really want this. It's hard to let this go, so I'll take what I can get. Sad to say. But anyway, I think we're down to the last couple minutes. So in closing, any closing remarks? Let's get our closing remarks out of the way. So instead of me following you, I'll go first, and then you can follow me. So what I want to say is I want to say thank you to the listeners. I encourage you to send your anonymous questions in, and we'll definitely give you some information that you need. Maybe it might not be the ones what you wanted to hear. But yeah, we look forward to getting your questions, and we'll see you in the next episode. How about you, Jenny?
Just want to tell everyone thank you for tuning in. Like Drew said, if you have any questions, comments, hold your complaints, send them our way. There we are.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Exactly. All right. So we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Advice for Lovers podcast. Visit us on the web at adviceforlovers.com. Today's show has been brought to you by 5D Presence, a podcasting network that brings you a variety of podcasts to assist you on your journey to fulfillment and happiness. We hope to see you in our next episode.